The Terrible Secret of Animal Crossing, Part 12, All's Well That Ends. For the first time, I didn't have any options. No hopeful plan or bed to hide in. Penny knew it wasn't me that took her papers. She didn't believe it was Nook. I don't even know who she thought did it, but if I guessed wrong, she'd keep killing until I guessed right. Or there was no one left. I don't know if I could live with that. And then, what would she do to me? Thoughts flew through my head like bullets, but were inevitably rejected like golf balls off a brick wall. I didn't know what to do. Seconds passed like eons.
It was me!
Shocked, I glanced over to see a gangly figure. A tall, relatively older boy had stepped forward. He was missing a leg from the knee down and moved slowly on a makeshift crutch.
What are you doing?
The sides of his head were flat, lacking the telltale silhouette of ears. He couldn't hear me.
Oh, Philip. You always were a troublemaker, hmm? Why don't we take a walk together?
She giggled to herself at the thought of forcing Philip to hobble alongside her on a pleasant afternoon stroll before again leaving the balcony. Phil. I knew that name. He was one of the children that had sent back a message to me when I was mapping the island. No guards dragged him along. As he shambled past and caught my eye, there was the briefest hint of a grin on his lips. I was beginning to think that everyone had lost it when I realized that Phil had a plan of his own. But whatever Phil was planning to do wouldn't work. Penny would never believe that this boy, barely able to round the corner of the house, was capable of breaking in at night and running off with her documents.
Philip, don't!
He was already gone. The entire crowd was mesmerized, staring into the empty side lot where Philip had disappeared from sight, waiting for screams or for Penny to appear again from the balcony. And then what? We'd choose another sacrifice and go on like this into the night? This was the closest thing to a shot in hell I'd ever have, and my body reacted before my brain could tell it to stop. I spontaneously twisted from the grip of the guard who had himself become transfixed by the anticipation of the scene and made a break for the side where Philip had disappeared. Maybe between the two of us we could overpower the deranged mouse. Maybe without her canine entourage we stood a chance. We didn't. I turned the corner to see Penny hunched over the boy like a vulture. Both figures were covered in blood, but one was not moving. Philip was dead, yet the blood was not entirely his. On the ground beside Philip was his crutch, the end of which had been sharpened to a dull point. I hadn't noticed before. In Penny's side, a deep gash oozed inhumanly thick, dark blood. At the sound of footsteps behind her, she had stopped what she was doing to look. She had been digging through his chest with her clawed arm like a gleeful child rooting through a discount bin of video games, looking for organs she'd like to keep and tossing the rest haphazardly to the ground around her. My sight suddenly went black, as if to save me from the inescapable trauma. But in truth, it was because guard dogs had plowed into me from behind, knocking me to the ground. The key in my pocket dug heavily into my thigh before springing freely onto the dirt. As my vision returned, I was shocked by Penny's gruesome visage hovering over me, key in hand, eyes blazing.
Where did you get this, boy?
There was nothing to say. Penny grasped me with uncanny strength for a mouse with a gut wound, and literally dragged me through the mud, through the back entrance of the house, and up the stairs. She shrieked to the guards,
"Stay!"
Back in the bedroom, she propelled me with superhuman force against a wall, and I slipped to the floor. She closed the doors to the balcony and rushed at me, burying a claw deep in my shoulder to hold me in place. Her face pressed against mine, and my terror rose as I was forced to stare deeply into my own eye.
Where is Tom?
Why isn't he here?
My voice cracked. Her clawed fist was cutting off my windpipe.
Told you. Tom's dead.
She slammed me hard against the wall.
You couldn't kill a fly, you weak waste of meat. Where's Tom?
I don't know why I hadn't realized it sooner, but Penny wasn't unaffected by Tom's death. She just hadn't believed me until now. Vitriol was beginning to boil in my veins. I exploded furiously.
He killed himself! He killed himself because he couldn't stand the thought of having to live one more minute with a hideous failure of nature like you! He'd rather be dead than have to wake up every morning next to a monster!
Penny's face suddenly twisted between unimaginable rage and emotional anguish before settling on something approaching neutrality. She let go of my punctured shoulder, small rivulets of blood trickling down my chest, and took a step back. Her voice buckled from that of a shrieking ghoul to an unfamiliarly human tone.
He committed suicide? Because of me?
I was transfixed by the emotional roller coaster playing out before me. Penny was looking past me now, her eyes glazed over, her thoughts 1,000 miles away.
Tom, we were supposed to be together. You said it would only be a few more days before they got here. Just a few more days. We were supposed to be together. Forever.
Her face, distorted as it was, had begun to display the sincere appearance of regret. It was almost more disturbing than her wrath, which unexpectedly regained control as her gaze returned to me. A deranged grin overtook the corner of her mouth, like some unseen puppeteer had pulled it there.
Do you know what I'm going to do, Billy? I'm not going to kill you. No, that would not be fitting.
I'm going to make you hurt! Forever!
That's what Tom would want. I'm going to start with your hands and feet.
Penny began listing the ways in which she would happily mutilate me for as long as possible. She had lost herself in bloodlust, dreamily gazing skyward while she fantasized about every possible way she could make me suffer. It was terrifying, and I believed every word of it. But Penny had made a mistake. She was used to ruling with fear, and it had served her well for a long time. Penny never knew fear herself. She didn't know it the way I did. She didn't understand that she was a virus, and that every shot she injected me with built up my tolerance. This was her last shot, and it was a big one, but it couldn't kill me. I was the vaccine. My body had become a processing plant for adrenaline. As Penny continued to blather on about my torturous future, I slowly rose to my feet. My muscles were clenched so hard they ached. I finally did what I had been too afraid to do in the past. What Tom had been too afraid to do.